everybody, and welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode number 51. And this podcast is the place where we talk about things that we're writing about on mommybeta.com and also things that are happening in the news. Today we have on the line Alex. Welcome, Alex.
Hello.
And myself, Natalie Gafori. Jennifer today is visiting with her family, and Natalie has a really good excuse for not being on the podcast. 2 days ago, she gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, Ava Elizabeth Morris, and she is doing fabulous. She is like the most amazing birther ever. And, you know, all three of us had problems with the whole birthing process, and Nat just like shoots them out.
Yeah, didn't she say two pushes?
Two pushes. Yeah. She went into the hospital at 6 centimeters dilated. I mean, her body is just, it knows what to do. So we want to say congratulations to Nat, and we are happy to take over on the podcast for a little while until she's back on her feet and ready to join us again. So if you want to send your regards or your congratulations to Nat, you can do that on our Facebook page. That's Facebook.com/MommyBeta.
Yes, and Ava, I just one thing about the name. I absolutely love the name. That was actually on our short list. And before Reese was born, when we were picking names for Reese.
It is. It's a beautiful name. And I'm still just shocked that she had a girl. I was convinced it was going to be a boy.
Well, when she started pinning all of those cute little adorable girl outfits on Pinterest, I kind of had a feeling, even though she didn't know, I think on some level her body knew.
Yeah, it's amazing. I still think it's such a brave thing to go into it not knowing if you're having a boy or a girl. So congratulations on many levels to the Morris family. And today we have tons of stuff to talk about. We are going to discuss the media's portrayal of attachment parenting. We're going to let you know how to make sure your Mother's Day is awesome. We're going to talk about picking sunscreen and what not to say to a pregnant woman. So lots of exciting topics. So let's jump right in. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but this just popped up on my Facebook feed this morning. And Time Magazine has a portrayal of attachment parenting on their cover. And basically, it's this like smoking hot woman. And she has a little boy who's standing on a chair who they say is three, but is a very big three-year-old who's breastfeeding. It's a very provocative cover. And you know, the commentary that I'd seen on Facebook was that, you know, it was kind of sensationalizing attachment parenting. And, you know, people were thinking that, oh, you know, are these models, you know, who's this like smoking hot woman and this huge kid? You know, they're really trying to make it look weird, basically, is the feeling that I got on Facebook. And then when I went to look up this article, I came across some people talking about, you know, who the photo shoot, who did the photo shoot, and kind of more information around the photo shoot. And I'll link to this article in the show notes. But it turns out that this is like a real mom and a real kid, and they're really attachment parenters. And they were featured in one of Dr. Sears' books, I believe. And, you know, this is an accurate portrayal, you know, as accurate as you get on the magazine cover. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So, you know, what do you think, what was your gut feeling, Alex, when you saw this image for the first time?
Well, so similar to you. I looked at her and I said, wow, she is smoking hot. And then I looked at that little boy and I thought, okay, that's a little bit weird. But again, that's my own personal, he looked four. It's
yeah, like, he's a big kid.
He's you know, this hot, beautiful woman, and then you have this four-year-old standing up on a chair breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So the image is a little bit strange, but that doesn't reflect my views on attachment parenting.
Right. And I think the whole concept of attachment parenting has been in the news quite a bit lately. You've got this cover. You've got Blossom. I can never pronounce her name. Mayim Balik, something along those lines. She had a book called Beyond the Sling that was published about a month ago that got a lot of publicity. And then if you go back a few years, the movie Away We Go had Maggie Gyllenhaal portraying an attachment parenting mom who was just like, to me, it seemed way off the deep end, but was, you know, maybe an accurate portrayal of somebody who does follow the guidelines to the letter. And I thought that was interesting because this is something before I had kids or before I was pregnant, it wasn't really on my radar. I never heard of attachment parenting or, you know, thought that wearing a baby in a sling made you this kind of parent or that kind of parent. Had you heard of it before, Alex?
No, not until I had done a ton of research. Like, I didn't know what attachment parenting was. And I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. The child is attached to you and never away from you, right?
Right. And it's, you know, there's a big emphasis on breastfeeding and co-sleeping and baby wearing. I think I subscribe to certain parts of attachment parenting, but I'm definitely in no way a hardcore attachment parenter. We weren't into co-sleeping. I think we'll co-sleep a little bit with this new baby in an actual co-sleeper just for convenience purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not one of those people who wants my kids in the bed with me. I just feel like I'm not going to get great sleep. They're not going to get great sleep. And it's the hard habit to break. I've known people who, you know, have 12-year-olds who still want to be in bed with them. And that just, you know, there's not room.
No, absolutely. My mom did attachment parenting. She had four of us. So my older brother is 9 years older. So I guess we won't count him. So there were three of us under the age of three. And we all slept in the same bed with her. And she was a single parent. But not when we were one, two, and three. So we slept in the bed with my parents. She breastfed all of us. We went everywhere with her. And then I still wanted to sleep in her bed when I was five. I would fall asleep in my own bed, but then crawl into her bed. And so there was 3, 4, and 5-year-olds in my mom's bed. And I did not want that. She was okay with it. She said it was fine. She loved snuggling with all of us. But I was thinking about that. I would never have any, and not having any privacy with Josh.
Yeah. I think that's hard on a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, at least. And I think, you know, a lot of the people that I've known who have done the co-sleeping longer than maybe is convenient, have been single parents. And I think it does provide a level of, you know, comfort and intimacy that maybe they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously it's different, you know, there's no fun new business going on.
Right.
but you know, I can see how it would be comfortable. And also I've read a lot about women who work out of the house, like to do co-sleeping because they're away from their kids so much during the day. It's a time for them to be together, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Yep. No, that makes sense. And it's, so you wrote this blog post, where you, I forget what, but the gist was you weren't going to judge other moms. And I've taken that to heart, and I try it because it's so easy to say, especially before I had a kid, oh, I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do this. And then I did it. And so now I just have to say, you know, I am not them. They are not me. They're doing what's best for their family, mm-hmm. and I'm doing what's best for my family, and no kid is the same. So you have to just put it in perspective for yourself. And so that's why I said, you know, attachment parenting isn't for me, but I think it's great if you can do it and it works for you.
Yeah. I think you never know what's going on in somebody's life. I think that's the kind of the biggest reason behind me deciding, you know, to do my very, very best not to judge other people, is because you really don't know if they're just having a crappy day, or if, you know, they've got extenuating circumstances that you don't understand, or they have a belief that maybe you don't hold, but it's very important to them. So I think, you know, we're doing the world a service by putting judgment aside. And, you know, it's hard to do all the time, but, you know, I think the more we can do it, the better.
Agreed.
Except for maybe when it comes to our husbands and Mother's Day. Can you tell us a little bit about the post you wrote this
week? Here I go, judging. No, I think, well, so, okay, Mother's Day is Sunday. I'm so excited. Such a special day. I feel like, so before Mother's Day, before I was a mother, my birthday used to be my most favorite day of the year. And now it's Mother's Day. I wrote I wrote this post for a couple of reasons. One, because I just didn't realize how special a day it was. And when I was little, my brothers and I, there were three of us, really close in age, we would make my mom breakfast in bed, which usually just consisted of a bowl of cereal, some toast, orange juice, and a little vase, which was a cup with some water and a couple flowers picked from our backyard. And it was just really sweet, and we just spent the entire day with my mom. Just doting on her. She didn't have to clean. So we did little things like that. And Last year, I was really upset because Josh was out of town, and I forget why, but it was something we both agreed that was more important at the time. And I was really, really upset that he wasn't there, but I didn't realize it until afterwards. And so this year, he knew there were some high expectations since he had missed my first Mother's Day, and he has something planned. I don't know what it is, but I'm really excited, and I'll keep you guys updated. Or I'll give you an update next week once I find out. Mm-hmm. And also, the second reason I wrote it is because last year, a couple of friends came to me and they were upset because their husbands weren't planning anything and or Mother's Day had passed and they didn't plan anything. And their feelings were hurt. And I felt really awful. And my advice to them was just to set expectations up front. Tell them that this is a special day. You're looking forward to it. And if they don't have that type of relationship with their husband where they feel like they can do that, then plan something for themselves, because Mother's Day is just way too special a day to pass up and to be disappointed on. Don't you think?
I agree. And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't have to be some big extravagant something or another, you know, just, you know, I know for Father's Day, Sean's first Father's Day, we went to his favorite park and we had a picnic lunch and, you know, just kind of had a really relaxing day in the sunshine, and that's all he wanted. And, and it was perfect, and it was lovely, and everybody was really happy, and that's all it needs to be. I think, you know, a spa day is fantastic, but that's not in everybody's budget or not what everybody wants to do. And, you know, actually I wouldn't want to be at the spa on Mother's Day away from my kids. I would, you know, like to enjoy that day with them and then maybe have the spa day sometime later. In a perfect world. But I think, you know, just kind of blocking out some time and showing your appreciation to mom is kind of the most important part, whether, you know, that means a picnic or a fancy brunch or, you know, it's whatever is your family's style. And I think that's what you made a really good point about setting an expectation, because, you know, maybe a new dad doesn't really understand what he's supposed to do for Mother's Day, or, you know, how much are boys really involved in planning special things for their own moms? You know, maybe not that much. So I think, you know, just to open up the dialogue a little bit and say, you know, honey, I think this is going to be a really fun day. It would be nice if we could go to the park or, you know, go out to brunch together or something like that. Just, you know, drop a few not so subtle hints, because men generally aren't so good with subtlety.
Nope. Every year for my birthday, Josh asks what I want to do. And I give him a list of 3 or 4 things and then kind of let him run with it. And sometimes there are only 2. So I kind of know what's going to happen. He's just not a planner, and I love him.
I love that you give him a list. Is it in an Excel document?
It's usually in an email. I do give him a list. And he's not the best planner, which is why we make a great, great combination, because I love planning. But he's good at so many other things. So I don't want him to stress out about planning something when, one, he doesn't enjoy it, and two, he's not quite sure what to plan. So
right.
Yes, which is why I'm interested to see what he has planned this Sunday.
I'm sure it will be lovely. As long as you guys are together and everybody's celebrating you, it'll be a wonderful day.
There you go. I love that. Maybe that's actually why Mother's Day has replaced my birthday. I think it's just the celebration.
Yeah.
Of me.
Yeah, it's all about you. It's about you and your wonderful mothering abilities.
Yeah, now it's, giving birth. Oh. But yeah. Oh, and I also, not only was it a couple of friends who had shared their stories about how they were disappointed, but I was on one of our online forums here in San Francisco, and I just read so many different posts about moms being disappointed with Mother's Day, and I just felt so sad. I don't think it should be that
way.
And
that makes me a little bit sad. I mean, are people's expectations too high? I don't know.
I think there was just nothing had been done.
Oh, it was that's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, not even a card for some of them.
Oh.
They were just kind of like, oh, it's just another day.
Oh, that is definitely disappointing. I mean, I think sometimes we can kind of build things up too much in our heads and, you know, kind of make things a bigger deal than maybe they even need to be. So I think sometimes that leads to disappointment. But, you know, there needs to be some recognition. Right.
Well, which goes back to setting expectations.
Yeah.
To share with your spouse what those expectations are.
Whether yeah, if you're expecting, you know, a 5-star spa day, tell him because he's not necessarily going to know that. And you will be disappointed if
yes,
you don't
tell him it. And give him some time to save.
Yeah, seriously. I have to admit that that was my request this year is a massage. I have just been, you know, with the pregnancy, just achy. And, you know, I think that sounds amazing. And I get maybe like one a year, maybe if even if that. So I'm hoping he remembers that I put in that request.
Yes. Do you have a favorite spot?
You know what? I don't. I have a couple that I've been to and I like certain things about all of them, but I haven't yet found the perfect place.
I have the perfect place in San Francisco. If you want to drop off Nick, he can have a play date with Reese. You're welcome to. It's amazing. I think I linked to it.
Is it that Sen Spa?
Sen Spa in San Francisco. And they offer a day pass for $25 where you can use all of their amenities without having to book a treatment.
That's pretty cool. And they have like a sauna and a hot tub.
Yeah. They don't have a hot tub. They have a steam room, really nice showers. And then they have this relaxation room with kind of lounge chairs. You can just relax and lay down.
Can you have lunch there?
I don't know.
See, that's my perfect spa place is someplace where you can go and you can like go in the morning and do like a yoga class and then kind of relax by a pool and then have your massage and then have lunch by the pool.
Sounds great.
Ideal spa day. And the only place that I've been, there's a place in the city that does pretty much all that. And now I can't remember. I think it's in the Huntington Hotel. And it was really nice, but my massage that I got there kind of sucked.
Oh, bummer.
So, I mean, maybe it's one of those places where I need to go back and try again because maybe I just didn't get a good person.
If you want to go a little bit further north in Sausalito, there's Cavallo Point. They have an amazing spa lunch. There. You what?
It's beautiful there. I've never been to the spa or their restaurants, but I've because it's right there next to the Discovery Museum.
Yes. Right? I've never been to the spa, but I've been to the restaurants and they're fabulous.
Ooh, I'll have to put that on my list. So I want to take just a minute and thank our sponsor today, one of our sponsors today, Gazelle.com. Gazelle.com is the best place to go if you need to kind of do some recycling of your consumer electronics. You can go to Gazelle.com and say you've got an old camera that's laying around, you've got a new fancy, SLR and you've got to get rid of your point and shoot because you're not using it anymore. You can go to Gazelle.com, type in the model number that you have, and they will tell you how much money they will give you for your camera. And then you send it in and they either give you money for it or you can get Amazon credit for it. And if you get Amazon credit, you get a higher amount than you would have just taking cash. And it's just it's super smart. It just makes sense. You know, get rid of the stuff you're not using or, you know, help yourself upgrade. You can upgrade to the new iPad since it's not really an iPad 3, right? You can send in your iPad 2, get a really good chunk of change for it, and then upgrade yourself to that iPad 3. So it's a really smart thing to do. Save yourself a little money, make a little money, use it as a fundraiser for your kids' preschool or, you know, any other kind of community organizations you are into. You can kind of set up an account where, say, all the parents at the preschool trade in their or send in all their old electronics and all that money goes to your school, which I think is just brilliant. So if you're looking for a place to make a little extra money or you want to upgrade your electronic equipment, go to gazelle.com and make sure to tell them that Mommy Beta sent you. So it's getting hot out, Alex. Is it hot there?
Yes, it's been gorgeous.
It's been super sunny down here too. And with the arrival of the sun again, I've been thinking about sunscreen. And I know this is something that last year we all kind of agonized over. I can't tell you how many emails probably went around about what sunscreen are you using? Should you just keep them out of the sun? Or is a little bit of sun good? Or, you know, like it was kind of obscene. And this year I definitely am feeling more relaxed about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. If I have to put some, you know, random adult sunscreen on Dominic once or twice, I'm not going to be uptight about it. But I did find a new favorite kind of baby sunscreen. So the one that I was using last year, did you use the Badger too, Alex?
Not, no.
Yeah, so I used the Badger, which has a really good rating from the EWG, the Environmental Working Group, and Good Guide gives it a good rating. But it's thick. It's like clay, like literally like clay. And it was really hard to put on, Dominic. First of all, it felt like it was not necessarily getting it on evenly. And second of all, he would scream because it would take me so long to get it on his face, especially to get it rubbed in and, you know, make sure I had it all over. So this year I decided I need to find something different that's a little bit easier to put on. And I ordered the Think Baby sunscreen, and it's amazing. It still gets a great rating from the Environmental Working Group. I think it's its top rating sunscreen. And it goes on just like a normal, regular, everyday sunscreen, and it smells good, and I'm a big fan.
So it's not super thick and greasy?
No, it's like any other sunscreen pretty much that I've ever used. It is mineral-based, but I don't think as mineral-based as the Badger, because I know with the Badger – you can put it on and you're instantly covered. But with this one, you are supposed to apply 15 minutes beforehand, which means that it needs to kind of like absorb into your skin to work, which means it's a slightly different mode of action than the Badger is. So I've been trying to be mindful of that and putting it on him. You know, if we're going to the park, I put it on him, you know, before we leave the house, so it has enough time by the time we actually get to the park that it's active and it's working. So that's the one kind of drawback to it as opposed to the Badger, but it goes on so much easier and it doesn't feel greasy.
I might have to try that. I use Aveeno. I'm actually trying to look it up on EWG's website, and I'm not finding any data on there.
I had the Aveeno baby. I bought it, I think, maybe when Dominic was born, just like mm-hmm. stocking up on stuff. And I don't know about the EWG, but Good Guide, I'm pretty sure, gives it a pretty not very good rating.
Really? Do you know why?
I don't remember specifically, but from doing research on a bunch of different products, Aveeno markets itself as kind of the natural, nice alternative, but is not necessarily.
Interesting. I'll have to look more into that because I've been using that for the past couple months, and I really like it just the way it goes on.
It does
and
go on really nicely.
Easy to, and it kind of, it, I can rub it all the way in her skin and doesn't leave all that white marks. Not that I'm concerned about the white marks. I'm more concerned about the sun and it protecting her.
Yeah, you definitely get a little bit more of the white marks with the Think Baby, but I think that's because it uses the kind of more natural ingredients.
Got it.
Yeah, I've been surprised with the Aveeno baby products. I had some like Aveeno baby wash and a couple of other different things that I remember looking up on Good Guide and being very surprised at the rating. They're not awful. They're not, you know, toxic chemicals, but I think the Aveeno baby wash had a worse rating than the like Johnson & Johnson's standard No More Tears baby wash, which I thought was
interesting. Oh my gosh, that's so sad. I actually have a half a bottle in my tub that I stopped using because I just didn't like the way it smelled. So I'm glad.
Yeah, I mean, and you wouldn't expect it because, you know, the way they market it makes it seem like it's all nice and warm and fuzzy. So yeah, it's interesting. Actually, I just downloaded a Good Guide app, and I took it to Target with me the other day when I was looking for a new face cream for myself. And it's like the Amazon app where you scan the barcode and it will bring up information about it. But you use the Good Guide app and you scan the barcode and it will tell you, you know, what their rating is on health, environment, and they have one other.
That is awesome.
Yeah, like community or something. So mm-hmm. like how much they give back. And then it'll give you the overall rating. And there are, definitely are a lot of products that aren't in their database yet, which is a little frustrating. But it was able to kind of steer me away from some things that I was interested in.
Very cool. I'll have to check that out.
I thought that was pretty neat. So yeah, check out. So, you know, if you're listening, check out your favorite sunscreen on either Environmental Working Group's list or Good Guide, and just see if it's as good as you want it to be for your kids. And another thing I remember reading last year is about those spray sunscreens. And I personally actually was always a fan of the spray sunscreen because I feel like for myself, it goes on super fast and I can get my back and I can do it all by myself. But I was always a little wary to use it on Dominic. I don't think I ever really did. And they came out last year with a thing saying that you definitely shouldn't use the spray sunscreens, especially on kids, because they can inhale them. And so this summer, I'm probably going to stay away from the spray sunscreens myself because of the baby. And, you know, I probably should in general anyway, but I did keep using it last year just because it's so convenient on myself. Or if you can do it in like a super ventilated place or hold your breath or, you know, do something. But just a note that probably stay away from those spray sunscreens for your little ones at least.
And, but if that's the only thing around and you're out in the sun, you should.
Well, yeah, it's better than nothing for sure. For sure, which is a bummer because they're so easy to put on. You think, oh, this is the perfect solution for kids. But maybe until they're old enough that you can teach them to hold their breath while you do it, maybe it's not a good idea.
I actually, after Reese gets it, it reminds me, after we get out of the bath and I dry her hair with a towel, I put this little spray-on conditioner and it smells so good. And she covers, I go, okay, hold your breath. She takes a deep breath and covers her eyes or covers her face with her little
hands. That's amazing.
It's cute. Oh, I can't tell if she's really holding her breath, but she covers her face so that the spray doesn't get on her.
Oh, that's cute. Does she like getting her hair washed?
No, not so much. We just taught her how to put her – well, a while back. We taught her how to put her head back. So we say, put your head back. And then I say, I'm going to count to five. And so I go one. I take a cup of water, go one, and do that five times, and then she's done.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea.
So it's kind of, she knows after five, mommy's going to be done and out of her face.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Because Dominic is, he's never been good with me with washing his hair. I just don't have the touch. But Sean's always been able to do it and not, he hadn't put up a fuss. But it was funny when we were on vacation a couple weeks ago with another family. We were with a four-year-old boy and they had one of those big giant bathtubs. So Dominic and the four-year-old boy took a bath together. And the four-year-old put up a huge fight when he got his hair washed. And ever since Dominic saw that, he's been doing the same thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally didn't even expect something like to happen. But I just think it clicked that he wasn't supposed to like getting his hair washed.
Right.
So we need some new tips. So I'll try that with the counting.
Yeah, and also grab a washcloth and make sure it's not dripping with water. And I put that against her forehead so that water doesn't go into her eyes. Because think about it. I mean, I don't like soapy water in my eyes or dripping down my face.
Yeah. I remember I was a freak about it. I put a washcloth over my eyes when I washed my hair until I was like 16.
Oh my gosh. That's pretty funny.
I know. I was really bad. So I have compassion for him, but it's just kind of out of the blue because he didn't used to mind it with the way Sean does it.
They're picking up things like crazy. Reese picked up when we were visiting her cousin. She picked up the mine. And she hasn't used it since we haven't been around it. She hasn't used it too much, but I'm sure she will.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Everything is now Dominic's. But, you know, he's learning. It's a process. One thing that he wishes would always be his, every time we see cake, he gets really excited because it reminds him of his birthday. I got a new Martha Stewart and I'm pulling out recipes and there's this beautiful strawberry cake that I pulled out and he looks at it, he says cake, and then he tries to like blow out the candles, whether or not there are candles. So one thing that I'm sure Dominic would love if he was able to get on my computer and actually do this is he'd love to go to bakemeawish.com, which is one of our other sponsors. They're a website where you can, as you might guess, order any kind of cake imaginable. Beautiful, beautiful cakes. You can have them personalized and you can send them anywhere you want and they can guarantee delivery. So if you have, you know, a friend having a baby who lives out of town and you want to send them something special to celebrate, something that a new mom might appreciate more than, say, flowers. I know, Alex, you did a post about how new moms love food more than flowers.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can't take them a lasagna, if they don't live in your hood, you can send them a cake. So I think that's a great way to celebrate what new mom, you know, doesn't want the breastfeeding calories that a cake provides.
I totally agree. I would love, love, love. Just take note. I would love to be sent a cake.
What flavor?
Oh, red velvet.
Oh, yeah. Red velvet's a popular one.
Mm-hmm. And there's one, right? Is it on the front page of the website?
Yeah, I think that's like their featured cake is the red velvet.
Every time I go there, I lick my lips.
Yeah, amazing. So they have red velvet. They have carrot cake. They even have coffee cakes if you want to do something like that. Of course, chocolate, all kinds of different iterations of chocolate. So if you have an occasion for a cake, check out bakemeawish.com and they will guarantee that it gets there on time and that it will be delicious. And if you go there, make sure to tell them that Mommy Beta sent you. All right. So Little Sugar, speaking of cake and sugar and all things sweet, has a post this week.
I just got it. I was like, wait, where is she going with this?
You have is my transition not working for you?
No, that was awesome. That was awesome. But in case anybody else missed it, littlesugar.com is an awesome website. Yes. Okay, I'll let you finish. That was great.
I'm working on it here, okay?
That was really good.
Nat's out. I've got to practice, man. I've got to pitch it. So littlesugar.com is a great like mommy kid website, and they have a list of things not to say to a pregnant woman. And Alex found this. So do you want to share a little bit of your favorite?
Yeah, I'll share a few of them. One of them is, "You're huge," with 3 exclamation marks.
Yeah. Not a good one.
No. Or the opposite is, "You're tiny." Telling this to a new mom at first can be kind of flattering, but then you can become super worried and paranoid. Like, is my little baby too small? Am I eating enough?
I think that's a really good one, because I'm definitely guilty of this. So there was a girl, I went to a little mom's night out the other night, who's due like 4 days later than I am, and you can hardly tell she's pregnant, and I'm a monster.
You are not.
No, but I mean, the difference was like crazy significant difference. Mm-hmm. And I am totally guilty of being like, oh my God, look at you, look at me. And I hope that I didn't make her feel bad.
I
wasn't mindful of it.
Yep. In the store the other day, because this gal who I've seen in the park several times over the past couple months, she's due in August, and I didn't even know she was pregnant. And she had this teeny little bump, like the size of a soccer ball. And she's due in August. I'm like, oh my God, you're so teeny. And yeah, so I think we're all.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind if someone told me that I was tiny. But I guess if you really are, then maybe you're self-conscious about it.
Right. Just a couple other ones. Your boobs or butt are huge. Although I didn't mind the boob one.
No. If it's coming from a close friend, I think saying your boobs are huge is okay.
Yes. Yeah, not some random stranger like, oh my God, your boobs are huge. And then the last one, which I wouldn't like, is, was it planned?
Yeah. I know sometimes you think about that in your head, like when babies are really close together or something like that. You know, you kind of think about it, but I think that's smart to never say it.
Yeah, never ask.
Yeah, unless maybe it's a super close friend. I don't know. And then I remember on Facebook, I think it was a mutual friend of ours posted something like, note to the random guy in the marina, never say like, oh, are you about to pop any day? Is it twins? To somebody that you don't know. That's just brutal. I mean,
who would say that?
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure some like stupid, you know, 20 something guy who knows nothing about these things. And, you know, because it's toward the end, like, I don't think before you're pregnant, you realize how big you get at the end. Like, the last few weeks are pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And no one needs to remind you of that.
No. Well, poor, I still feel bad for Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I don't think people should comment on a woman's weight. It's, you know, it's their own personal business. Just because everybody can see it doesn't mean they can comment on it.
Yeah. I mean, she's a star. Stars have commentary on every aspect of their lives. So I understand why, but I just think people went overboard.
I think they were mean and insensitive.
You're right. They were mean. And, you know, it's one thing to comment on it and be like, oh, wow, you know, she's going to have a hard time losing the baby weight. And there's another thing to call her an absolute porker.
Sorry.
You know, it's awful.
It is absolute. I'm laughing because it's uncomfortable. Like, yeah. I just can't believe somebody would say that.
In print, a doctor. You know, like, come on, lady, come on.
If I was that doctor's husband, well, I was going to say if I was that doctor's wife, I'd smack him.
Yeah, I think it was a woman, which is, I think, even worse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's something that's between you and your doctor and you and your husband and you and your baby. Mm-hmm. You know, you do what you can do. And it's another one of those not judging things. You know, you don't know if she's got extenuating circumstances or if they told her that she can't exercise because she has placenta previa or something. You know, like, lay off.
Yes. Lay off people judging.
We do not like judgment. So yeah. So if you have any other things that you think you should not say to a pregnant woman, please do let us know on our Facebook page at mommydata.com. And another interesting topic that if you have things that you wouldn't say to a new mom is another topic that we're throwing around a little bit.
Yeah, we should put a blog post together about that.
I think one thing you should say to a new mom is, you look great, you know? Like, I just think that moms want to hear that. They want to be recognized that, you know, especially if you come over and they've put on mascara for you, like, tell them that you appreciate that, you know? And tell them that they look beautiful. And, you know, I think every mom wants to hear that she is losing the baby weight, you know, even if it's slower than you may expect. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to hear.
So. And also, you're doing such a great job. Somebody once told me, somebody I didn't know came over to the house. Josh had a meeting and she said, you're such a good mom. She'd only been there for a half hour and I had no idea who she, you know, I'd never met her. It was just so nice to hear.
That is super nice.
Like, oh, thank you. I don't
Everybody
know
wants
you.
The reassurance.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. So if you have things that you think you should or should not say to a new mom, you can add those on our Facebook page as well. And we've come to the time of the show where we talk about a little victory, something that's made our week, you know, especially wonderful. And I'm going to go ahead and take this one this week. You know, as you guys all know, we've been doing potty training and it's been, a couple weeks or almost 2 weeks now. And, you know, it's had its ups and its downs. So one of the ups was last week, we had a accident-free day, which was amazing. And it even included being out and about for a big chunk that we went to the park in the morning and did something, or we went to preschool in the morning and the park in the afternoon and no accidents. And it was super awesome.
Woo-hoo!
So I was riding a high on Wednesday. And then on Friday, we kind of had a little victory for my husband and I. It was definitely not a victory for Nick. But we were at the bookstore, our favorite little bookstore downtown. And Sean was all excited because he had gotten Dominic to go on their potty at the bookstore. And I was super excited, pleased that, you know, that was working. They have like a cool little seat that's – it's like a regular toilet seat, but then the lid – has a little kid toilet seat that flips down. So it's like a little potty. It's the coolest thing ever. I kind of want to get one for our house. So Nick had gone on that. And about 5 minutes later, we were talking to another mom. You know, Nick was playing it. They have like a little, play area set up and Nick was playing. And all of a sudden I looked down and he has this like weird kind of wide legged stance. And I was like, oh no, are you peeing? And I felt his pants and he wasn't wet. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the mom kind of looked and was like, and I see a log of poop, literally a log, fall out of the bottom of his jeans. Like, seriously? Like, that happens? Because we're not doing underwear, because the underwear kind of, he thinks they're diapers and he goes to the bathroom and whatever. So no underwear. So the log apparently is uninhibited.
A log falls, of poop.
Yeah. Log, full on log, falls down the leg of his pants and out onto the floor. I was mortified. Thank God that this woman was like totally down to earth and was like, she had two little boys and was like, it's probably happened to her before. And also thank God that Sean was there, because if I had to deal with both the kid and the poop at the same time, I don't know what I would have done. I just picked up Nick and whisked him to the bathroom and cleaned him up.
Well, thank goodness it was a log and not some squishy poop.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would have been even more
disgusting.
That would
have been really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dirty.
Yeah, and really, and it would have been like, I would have felt bad about having that, you know, worse about having that on the floor at the bookstore. This one was like, he scooped up with a baby wipe and used a little disinfecting wipe and, you know, it was okay. Like, there were no remnants left over. It wasn't, you know, unsanitary or anything. But if it hadn't been a log, it definitely would have been really, really gross. And we probably would have had to get an employee and say, you know, this is what happened. And do you have cleaning supplies? And thank God we didn't get to that, because it was at least a very tidy poop.
But, well, I'm glad you – cheers to you and Sean for surviving and Dominic.
Yeah, we kept it under control. We got mad. You know, we didn't get frustrated. It was just – one of those funny things that I'm sure once he's like super duper actually really potty trained, we'll look back on and really laugh. Right now, it's still like, oh man, you know, we still haven't gotten this, how do we get him to go to the bathroom when we're out and about thing down. So it's still a little bittersweet at this point. But
it's only sweet for me, but I know I'll be there someday soon.
And I was thinking it's got to be worse for girls because, well, I mean, I guess with girls, you have to put them in underwear because you can't go out in public with no underwear and like a dress, right? So maybe.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe you just put them in pants while you're going through this process.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, because it would be, I mean, not only, you know, do they feel a little exposed, but like if they're like sitting on chairs and stuff, they're not. Yeah, you need to have them in pants.
Oh, no. Reese crosses her legs.
Oh, her bottom would still be exposed. I don't know if you want her bottom on some random Starbucks chair.
Ew, no, no, no.
The sanitary factor and the fact that she could poop on it at any
moment. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of my little poop, she's awake.
Oh, okay. Well, it's probably about time for us to wrap things up. Thank you for adding your insight to the chat today, Alex.
And thank you for hosting. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun as always. And thank you everybody for listening. Remember to let us know what you're thinking at sending us an email at mb@mommybeta.com or Facebook or Twitter. And remember, if you like our show, please, 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 please write us an iTunes review. That really would help us out. So we hope to hear from you guys and are looking forward to talking to you again next week. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.
Bye.